Welcome to the Digitally Sick podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Digitally Sick. I'm Alex Butler from Foundry 3. With me, I have the full complement of the pod. I have Kai Gay. Kai, how are you doing?
Hi, Alex.
And also Faisal.
Hey, Alex.
Faisal, how are you?
Yeah, well, good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Yeah, very well. I'm freshly vaccinated, so I'm halfway to being free again, so I'm feeling good. Well, today we are going to be talking about digital strategy, and specifically how you can design a digital strategy that supports the commercial aspect of your business, obviously focused here on pharma and healthcare and life sciences. And I suppose the first place to start, and I'll kick off for 10 seconds, is that, of course, people with doing the whole keynotes, people that are very pleased with themselves in the way that they talk about digital and digital strategy would love to say, and the first thing that anyone says is there's, of course, no such thing as digital strategy. Digital strategy is embedded and baked through all aspects of your business strategy, whether that be marketing, communications, or whatever that might be. And of course, that's true. In the sense that, of course, it's hard these days to separate those two things out. It's not necessarily helpful to do so. But I think in my experience, Kai, I'll come to you because obviously you're working within a business like that. There does need to be a specialist focus on the digital aspects of strategy, in my opinion, in order to actually make that work and come to life. Or it can get lost or not utilized properly, or the strategy can't be given the space that it needs in order to actually bring the best out of the business objective. So what do you think? I mean, do you think that it should never be termed separate things, or do you think there's some value in it?
So you're right. People will say there's no such thing as a digital strategy. There is the commercial strategy and lining up against that. And at the same time, you do have to have a digital strategy, because thinking about the core of, you know, in where I work, what I look at is three parts to it: the people, the processes, and the technology, aligning all this back to our commercial operation, to our commercial business. Any business is commercial. So if what we are doing does not support the commercial organization, it's not part of the strategy. We shouldn't be doing it in the first place. But if we tease away and then start looking at this from a digital perspective, those are the three areas that we work in and where we focus to help the business land digital for our transformation going forward.
Faisal, what do you reckon? Obviously, you've been doing this for a long time now, both in and outside of pharma. I mean, do you think that there's value in thinking about not a separate digital strategy, but putting a separate focus on it?
It's a hard one because there's a lot of buzzwords around. We've gone from digital to multi-channel to omni-channel, etc. But I agree with Kai. I think you do need that digital strategy because you do need that focus and even that element to it as well. But the world's digital now. So if you're not thinking that way, then what are you actually doing? That always confuses me as well.
Yeah, I think basically what the truth is that I think there's been a complete flip around. I think that whereas when, you know, I was first starting out doing digital within pharma, it was seen as separate because it was seen as less important, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think of it like that, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of certainly senior people did. It was something new. It was a nice to do. It had possible future opportunities. It was possibly quite exciting, but it essentially was playing second fiddle to the more traditional forms of marketing communications, for example, say within a pharma business. I'd suggest now that it's gone full circle and that actually digital, because it is the world, is actually leading it. And I'll give a specific example of what I mean. So if you think about the old, I don't know, so let's think of audience insight or understanding what target audience is. You know, when we think of more traditional pharma segmentation, you know, there'd be some demographics in there. Although not much demographic, but obviously be geographic because of, you know, carving up areas geographically. Would there be any psychographical stuff in there? Possibly, possibly not. There will be behavioural stuff because it's about what people have previously prescribed or what they previously used and therefore there was potential targeting. And obviously I've massively kind of simplified that, but my point being that when you think of the segmentation models, they were quite, I think they made a lot of assumptions and there was a lot that wasn't known about the specifics of individual customers. Whereas you think about something that everyone now does, I hope, I assume, which is something like, you know, kind of target audience personas. You know, they aren't segmentation, it is persona development. But, you know, we now want to understand, you know, everything about someone, you know, their type, exactly who they are, exactly what job they do, what family do they have, what behaviors do they express, what needs do they have, what challenges. We want to understand, you know, how relevant things are to them, how authentic we are, you know, the transparency of the way we communicate, everything about their preferences with platforms and stuff like that. And I mean, obviously, I'm just tipping, you know, tip of the iceberg and things I'm talking about. I suppose the point is that you then go into pen portraits, which are now becoming, you know, quite powerful within health, and just asking really simple but really difficult questions to be able to answer. So, you know, who, what are people called, but what do they, who do they think they are, and who are they really, and who do they want to be? And it sounds really basic and straightforward, but I suppose my point is that if you think about it, digital has humanized how we think of our customers and what they need. And actually, I don't know, guys, what you think. I think in many ways, it's now leading the way with regards to how we develop strategies, especially, I suppose here I'm talking about marketing communications, but you could apply that to digital health technology, or you can apply it to clinical trial recruitment or clinical trial design, for example.
Yeah, execution end though, isn't it? When on more of the activation end, Alex, because what you've got is the digitization of the strategy, not the digital, that segmentation. And the digitization of that is the data. You know, is our data in a usable place? Is it in one system we can access? Can we do that segmentation? Can we merge the data profile from one activity into another activity to create the golden record of that customer?
Yeah.
So we can begin to understand the nuances, their wants, needs, motivations, channel prep, whatever we want to do. And that's the digitization of the business, where the digital strategy exists, is connecting the dots, bridging the systems, making the data and the systems work for us rather than against us. And even in pharma, as much as they've spent money, they still have separated data sources. They don't have unified data. Take a step back, they may have solved that piece, but then the processes and the governance and the complexity around it often puts people off.
Mm-hmm.
But if they've solved that, you take a step back even further and you think, have they got the right people and the right capabilities to use that data and make sense of it, even before you get to the activation level?
Yeah. So yeah.
You've always got to look at it from those three parts, the people, the process and the technology, and think about, are all three of these parts of our strategy working together to solve the problems of the business? And then from there, you can think about the segmentation, the activation, the measure of it.
And that person needs to think about every single touch point in the business as well and how they can support that, I think. I think the key thing is, and it keeps annoying me, and we've talked about this before, and I hear it so many times on different platforms, we need to think a bit more like consumer. We need to be more consumer with our thinking. And I keep on hearing that. But actually, if you compare consumer to data versus what we do with what pharma do day to day with data as well, we have better access to data because we have, I mean, there's MSLs, there's reps, there's sales reps. They're going out and talking to the customers on a regular daily, regular basis. Not many consumer companies can actually do that or say that.
No, I suppose you're right. I suppose the problem, though, is that we've never really been able to, first of all, we've never really been able to measure the impact of these experiences. And I've come back to that, actually, especially on the MSL. And so I still think that actually now what we, this very basic stuff that we know, and it doesn't matter whether it's consumer or not, really leads to these strategies. So to what Kyle was saying, I mean, that kind of user journey, the one of their term, of how do people discover you, how do they discover your content, how do they discover your brands, it's the same if you're a doctor or if you're in retail, you know, for female fashion or whatever. Obviously a totally different experience, but we still have to discover something. What experience are you creating for people? What is at the heart of it you want people to do that has real measurable value? You know, how do you build longer term relationships? And, you know, they're cheesily called loyalty and advocacy, but there is something in truth in all of that. And I think, again, that actually is now being led from the perspective, because I don't think that historically we did tie the experience the rep was giving to the healthcare professionals, what value they were delivering, what data they were collecting. Because if you remember, in the old days, when I first started in pharma, you'd write your notes from your visit to the doctor, and you would say who you were, of course, and all the rest of it. But you'd write what you talked about, and you'd even write people's opinions and stuff. And of course, with GDPR and just basic ethical data management, digital, you don't record people's personal opinions or whether you think they're will or won't prescribe the medicine, or whether they're conservative. Well, do you know what I mean? I mean with a small C. In a way, we do have more data, but maybe sometimes we have even less insight and less clarity. To your point, we are able to think about how we actually capture this, the information that we know about people, to make their experience better, not just about...
That data should inform the strategy.
Yeah.
Because you could go out with a very blunt strategy, say we're going to do this, but if you've got no data to back it up, you're making some fairly big shots in the dark, and then from there you would refine your program, hopefully. But for me, looking at it, you've got your company vision of what you want to try and achieve in this with digital as well, and then aligning the, setting the strategy for it to achieve it, you've then got to take that step back and think, okay, what are the enablers that we've got that help us going to get there, but also be very clear in understanding what the blockers are and your limitations. And then again, to the three parts, I always look at the people and the process and technology, which bits fall down in those blockers that we have to knock out the way, and therefore we put the mitigations in place and then think about the delivery.
Completely. And Faisal, how do you think, Faisal, well, actually, you've obviously worked in a number of different agencies for a long period. How do you think I'm talking about your larger kind of brand creative agencies, how do they think about a digital strategy and what they do? Or are they more focused really on just selling things? That makes sense.
We talked about this before as well. You have that innovation person who comes in, and they think they're just there for an AR, VR experience and stuff like that. And I think agencies don't have it integrated in.
Mm.
So obviously there is data in agencies, there's strategy in agencies, but the strategy, there's a lot of strategy people that aren't digitally focused. There are some good digital ones out there and hybrid ones out there. But it's not embedded in properly. It's not baked in properly yet, which is a shame, right? Because it needs to be baked in, because that's the world we live in now.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, another area where I think it's quite interesting, and that's why I think digital now should become the predominant way of looking at things, whether you're actually producing a digital kind of working through a digital channel or not, is if you think about like the dreaded horrible jargon of engagement. Often people will talk about engagement all of the time, but if you ask them what it means, would have a vague idea of what they're talking about. But from a digital perspective, we can lay out clearly the kind of six main ways that you can, engage with people. And I'll just pop my head now, so I'm going to challenge myself to remember them. But about how people discover your content, exploratory content, conversion-based content where you're measuring the real core conversion. That has real behavioral impacts for your business. There's things that people can use, like tools and services. There's things, opportunities to ask questions, and probably not remembered all six. But the point is though that that way of thinking about the different experiences that you're giving your customer and the good opportunities you're giving your customer, I don't think that was there. Certainly wasn't there in pharma marketing when I started. And it was about producing a detail ad and producing lead pieces and maybe doing a journal ad and what you're going to do at Congress. It wasn't about the experience, I don't believe, personally.
Yeah, but if you think about how we have to look at it now from a customer journey perspective and understanding that customer, what you were just saying, Alex, around the types of content, taking people from unaware to aware through a standard marketing funnel feels very linear.
Yeah.
And digital is not a linear process. If you truly map that customer journey through, you probably find there's a number of bounce backs in that process, and channel switches, and then people start talking omni-channel, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you've got that move across channels like we do every single day. We get an email, that email may spark interest. We will move to the web. If we need further information, we may move to live chat or phone somebody up. We bounce as humans anyway, and then we may go back online. So it's not a linear process, but we've got to take into account that the data should be giving us the insights around where are the problems of our customers, where are the problems of our business, how do we marry the two together to create the opportunity and then execute really, really well on that.
Yeah. On that point of execution, there's one of something I was wanting to talk about, which is that I actually feel that Farm's been a little bit let down by its partners and its vendors. Because often when you do audits of people's digital strategy, and obviously you can only audit what you see publicly, can't you? You don't know what decisions were made, why they were made, or what data they had to back up what they were doing. But, you know, it's interesting that I've seen a couple of, especially in social media, I've seen a shift where people are obviously being supported to produce content. You know, content is king. You know, kind of social media is just an articulation of a content strategy. You need to do to create interesting stuff that can engage. And this is a big but, it's often just not done with any finesse. Or you can see that it's done by, you know, more content farm, content agency style. So I saw an example in, again, I might have mentioned this before, but I saw an example in lung cancer, where, you know, a company, a pharma company on World Lung Cancer Day, is a month and a week, I think, as well. But anyway, they put out about how 90% of lung cancer was caused by smoking. Now, first of all, that's not true. But secondly, it's actually quite offensive to large groups of lung cancer patients, for instance, that have oncogene-driven lung cancers, ALK, EGFR, ROS1, all of these different ones, where pharma has got very specialist medicines. And often these are women in their 30s. And anyway, it just plays into the stigma associated with lung cancer, which isn't helpful with regard to the amount of research money that goes into it, or how many people are screened, or how many people get treated. My point is that probably in a content agency, the idea that you put something up about smoking on Lung Cancer Day seems completely kind of, you know, what's wrong with that? You know, nothing wrong with that.
How long was that article?
How long was that article? It wasn't an article. It's the point. It was just one of those typical cards you see on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. It just has this infographic on it. But of course, underneath it, there was loads of like world's leading patient advocate influencers saying this is stigmatizing, this is wrong. The other thing I saw, which is about migraine, which is a similar thing, which had a, we've done a survey with over a certain number of people. I won't say how many in case anyone can identify who I mean. Anyway, they announced the survey of all these people that they had spoken to about migraine, but didn't say anything else. So it had a GIF that showed all these people being interviewed, and then underneath it, everyone was going, yeah, but what did they say? You know, suddenly there's just there's no the idea of whether this is engaging content, whether this is informative, whether this is an opportunity for them to convert to something of real value to them, or you know, other than producing content for social media, I couldn't see any possible usage or leverage for what they were doing.
That goes back to the data argument, right? So no one's looking at previous data, because there is previous social data now. It's been going for 20 plus years, social media. So you know that, you know your audience, you know, looking at the data and stuff. And it goes down to the articles as well. So that's why I asked you how long was the, if it was a long article. Because
it wasn't associated. But, so that's my point about the journey. I know that we go on about data, but if there was a journey behind that, you'd be saying, we're going to capture someone's attention with this survey. We're going to say, find out more about this survey. When you get there, you're going to have an experience where you can possibly personalize that survey to the things that you're interested in. And then maybe there'll be resources for you to know more about migraine and go and speak to a doctor and maybe have a better experience. My point is that would be a journey. Just putting a card up saying, oh, we did a survey, you know, I don't see, you just take the data out of it. There's just not even a strategic journey plan to be going on there to me.
I mean, you know, there's hopefully a strategy behind it. The execution can be flawed. You know, it's about stitching it all back together. If they've got the customer journey right, if they've executed badly, well, more fool them. That was just poor execution. But it's that, if it's just firing these kinds of cards out to try and create a hit, doesn't work anymore. People just become ambivalent and people just don't respond. They'll measure off the number of likes or the number of, you know, retweets, whatever else. And you just think, that's really, really great. But what have you done to cause a change? And is that tied back to the strategy?
And I think it's a strategy problem. And Faisal, I'm going to ask you this question because I've noticed that we all know either you use an inverted pyramid of measurement strategy or you use a more traditional pyramid. But the point being that at the top of it are the real conversion measures of the real value, and underneath it are contributory measures or just indicators, things you can know. But Faisal, the question I've got is that my guess is that whatever content agency is doing that will just pick the indicator of no meaningful value that they think looks the best. So, you know, anything you put out on Twitter, for example, or Facebook will get a certain number of what sound like good impressions. Of course, we know impressions are an utterly meaningless measure. But do you reckon that's what it will be? Like, you know, you've got a possibility of reaching 300,000 people with this card that most people responded to by going, well, so? And anyway, can't you tell me more about the server? Is that what happens? They just get... They think they're doing better than they are because of the way that the success of campaigns is measured wrongly.
I don't know. I don't know because I'm not in that room. I'm not in that room to answer that. There must have been a strategy behind it. To obviously, you know the agency process. You're an agency as well. You pitch, you create a strategy, you create your creative on the back of it, etc. So there must have been a strategy somewhere along that.
I slightly disagree. I've worked in agencies, I've been exposed to agencies, and the whole reason I'm doing my agency is because I don't think that there is always a strategy. I genuinely don't. I think that that kind of is my point, which is that unless you have at the heart of it something really meaningful that you want people to do, it's just noise. There's nothing wrong, by the way, with putting out content just supportive or informative. Not everything has to be linked to some, you know, huge conversion. But it at least needs to be informed, doesn't it? And meet the community needs. Where's the social listening? Where's the audience profiling and understanding? Where's the knowledge of the hot topics? Considering, you know, the nature, say, of let's just take that long term to example.
That's the campaign strategy as part of the comms strategy.
Yeah.
It needs to be part of the overall business strategy.
Yeah, and it all needs to be tied in, doesn't it?
Everything needs to. And quite often that they, you know, having been in pharma, you see that thread through. I think what happens though is quite often it's a failed execution. It's still part of the strategy, but it falls over because the linkage and the data and the insight, and it's actually, oh crap, let's just do a tactic. And then we'll work out, you know, we'll get the impressions, we'll get a number of likes, whatever else, and we'll tie it back. But for me, it needs to be intrinsically feeding back to what is it, what are we creating out of this? What insight do we get from it? What do we want to cause for off the back of this? And then how will we use that data to inform the next decisions? Mm-hmm. And that's the feedback loops we need to create. But quite often, like we said at the beginning, the data's disconnected because the digital strategies are connected and therefore it's a lost opportunity.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I mean, of course, I'm not anti-data. I mean, data is nothing without context and understanding and knowledge. I mean, you know, data in itself isn't useful. But I suppose my point is that you only get high-quality data if you actually have a high quality user journey and strategy and a high quality content strategy.
Yeah.
Well, it's also a different marketing capability, isn't it? Because you're a data driven marketer at this point. And if we think back to, you know, the three parts I talk about, the people, the process and the technology, if you've got great data, but people haven't got the right processes to interrogate that data, or haven't got the right capabilities, it's just data that you've gathered and it doesn't help you make informed choices on your strategy execution.
And to Kai's point as well, I think there's too many partners involved along the line. There's too many partners involved. And when there is partners involved, people don't play prop together as well. So I think it's a matter of playing together well with different partners or cut down the partners so you've got a consistency across it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe what I don't want to come across is saying that I don't think data is important. Data is extremely important. you know, without understanding, you know, people both at small scale and large scale, and what's working, what isn't, and how you can refine what you do, you don't have anything. But that being said, I do really worry about people that now term themselves as data-driven marketers, data-driven agencies. It should be human-driven agencies and human-driven marketers.
You know, it is humans, Alex. You know, it's not saying you need to sit there in front of Excel, but as humans trying to run marketing campaigns, getting value out of it, tied back to the commercial strategy, you've got to be able to gather the insights that say, is this a worthwhile investment on my strategy? Is this a worthwhile channel investment? Am I going to generate what I want to generate, whether it is an ROI or whether it is in whatever they want to generate? And then kind of close this loop and bring it back to say, was that investment worthwhile? Digital still falls over in pharma because they don't close that loop.
I totally get what you mean. I suppose my point is that you design things around the person that you want to support or communicate with. And I suppose my point is that it still comes from having deep, meaningful insight into how you can help someone, what challenges you can help them with, what problems you can solve for them. And then you can use data to refine whether or not you're being successful.
That insight is data. That is data.
Yeah, that's data.
Yeah, okay, what you just said. I'm not talking pots and wands. I'm talking the data is insight. That's the bit.
Yeah, but I think it's important to be clear because I don't think people are clear about what they mean by data.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, but you shouldn't have.
Obviously, everything's data, isn't it?
I'm not just homing in on the analytics piece of the execution end. When I say data, I mean it's that. Have you got the business intelligence to make the right informed decisions, the right investments, and how does this line up against your strategy?
Yeah, but my point, I suppose, is, of course, if you're going to do, say, mass-scale social media listening, that's data. But the point I would make, though, is...
But the problem you're trying to solve is based on data.
People are thinking performance agency stuff. Data being how many people can you get a video view. Or how do you optimize this content and all that kind of. I suppose you're right. I mean, data means different things to different people.
Yeah, the problem is, I don't think, personally, I mean, I love to be proven wrong. Performance marketing is hard to do in pharma marketing. Performance marketing is all about selling. That's where it started. It's like,
comes from that environment.
Yeah, Omnichannel comes from selling, obviously selling in your different platforms and stuff.
Exactly.
But performance marketing is hard to do in pharma because it's all, the emphasis of it is all about sales, clicks, etc.
I know it is.
Very agile at it as well. You have to be so agile at it.
That's going back to the start of the conversation, is then the digital strategy needs to reflect where you want to be as an organization, the skills and the capabilities, the process and the technologies you need to be a performance marketing pharma company.
Yeah.
But I mean, I desperately, desperately hope people don't want to become a performance marketing company because it's just everything about that is wrong for me. But what I do think is that we should realize that this was humanized our understanding of our customers. And we have to build businesses now that are agile enough or have all the organizational agility to be able to demonstrate a high value content strategy, to be able to communicate to multiple channels, to integrate data in order to understand what we do better, to make sure at the heart of it, we're solving problems for people.
I completely agree, Alex. And the thing with this is, if we're doing it well and we're solving those problems, the patient or the physician's expectations go up a level.
Yeah.
Only to think they've got another problem and how could we support that? And that's why it's about bringing this all back together. And that's where the digital strategy is around making the company evolve more to this level rather than the fire and the forget campaigns, which is still in existence today.
Okay. So it's a final point then, very final point, and I'll ask five what you think. Is it true that actually, in like 10 years ago, people said, how can we be more like Google, which was, you know, obviously really embarrassing because Google has a very specific company with a specific offering. But is it true, though, that rather than it being like Starbucks saying they're a technology company and blatantly they sell coffee, but actually, in order to be a successful business these days, you do have to have technology running through everything you do, and the core of everything you do has to be led by people that understand strategy from a digital perspective, as opposed to a digital strategy, to enable the business to be constructed around that in the modern world. I've spoken a load of rubbish, or does that make some sense?
Was that a statement or a question?
It's kind of giving things for a grip. I mean, I'm not a Starbucks sells coffee,
yeah,
but maybe has digital running through it in the way that it thinks about its customers, how it targets them and how it tries to add value. And I think that's really what they meant, maybe, rather than saying they're a technology company. And is that maybe the mindset that pharma needs to now have, which is, you know, to just have digital people essentially infused throughout the entire business?
I think they should. And to be honest, if that goes back to the company strategy, or the essence of the company is helping patients, serving patients, etc., then it has to be infused, because we all live in a digital world. Yeah.
It goes perfectly back to the part of, you know, people. If the people understand digital and have got the capabilities to execute on that, they will be fine in a digital world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure that we haven't really answered the question, but that's fun trying to. Really appreciated it. Fires, thanks so much for your time. Good to speak to you again.
Thanks,
Guy, as well.
Thank you.
Back full time on the Digitally Sick Pod. And thank you to everyone that's listened. Really appreciate it. If anyone has any comments, be good or bad, then please get in touch in all of the usual ways. And please, you know, like and review the pod. Of course, if you do like it, if you don't, then we're happy for you to not bother. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you again next time.
See ya.
Cool.
That was good, I think.
3 men in a rant.
Are you not liking agencies this week, Alex?
Is that how he came across?
He's been back this week, hasn't he?
Have you come across health, open health again this week or something?
No, not so. No, I suppose maybe.